The Fall Guy. A movie stuntman fresh off an almost career-ending accident has to track down a missing movie star, solve a conspiracy, and try to win back the love of his life while still doing his day job. What could possibly go right? David Leitch directs Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in this madcap attempt to turn an 80s TV show into a summer tentpole, and whether they succeed or not, it was a very fun ride. We give The Fall Guy 7 flying truck stunt jumps out of 10 and recommend it for teens on up. Rocket pop is go.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in
orbit. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Jeff, let's talk about The Fall Guy. The Fall Guy. You and I are used to hearing that promo throughout the week while like ABC was telling us to tune in on Friday nights, I presume.
Do you know? Most people with this movie, I don't think they know that this was a TV either. Show.
I don't either. They did a little cameo of Lee Majors in the movie later on in the movie. And I thought, oh, that's Lee Majors.
And you have the right to remain silent. So shut the hell up.
And in the end credits, there's some modern country music singer doing a whole redo version of the theme song.
Correct. And Lee Majors was also the $6 million man. Did they do a remake of that with Will Smith?
They talked about it. It was on the docket. It was $1 billion man and they never made it.
$1 billion man. Okay. Anyhow, here's what I'm talking about that kind of jumped out to me first with this movie, which is... it is a romantic action comedy.
Now, well, how old fashioned is that?
Exactly right. Now, this kind of movie, you're the film historian, Jeff, but to my memory, I remember distinctly in 1985, a movie came out called Romancing the Stone.
Robert Zemeckis
made this. Do you remember when we reviewed Indiana Jones?
I do remember that.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Uh-huh.
Well, that kind of created a new genre. And then afterward, they thought, let's increase the kind of romantic angle of the movie. And then you have this thing. I don't know if it existed before, but I remember distinctly being told by the Gene Shalits and the Roger Eberts of the world, this is a romantic action comedy, and think, wow, that's a lot to stuff into that bag. But there were a lot of movies, I wouldn't say a lot, there were movies that came after it that fit that same deal, where it's more than anything else, it's a romance, but we shoved in a bunch of stuff to make it happen. Miss Congeniality comes to mind. Mr. and Mrs. Smith comes to mind. Even a movie like Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I think of Tina Fey's ill-fated date night movie, but they're rare, right?
Smokey and the Bandit. Would we put Smokey and the Bandit in that category?
Would you think that was primarily a romance?
You look at the posters and I think that's what they were at least trying to go for. It's hard to tell. I think you're right. Romancing the Stone is sort of the apex of that, and that they're really maybe kicked that off. Smokey and the Bandit had a fair amount of romance in it. It was along the way, but.
And I remember the guy who did, he was kind of a one hit wonder, Electric Avenue, the guy that did Electric Avenue, the song.
Eddie.
He also made a song called Romancing the Stone.
I'm Romancing the Stone.
And it was a hit. And I still don't know what that phrase means. I've never seen Romancing the Stone. I don't know what the phrase Romancing the Stone means, but it sounds filthy.
It's so horrible. Dumb. That guy was Eddie Grant, by the way. Yeah, even today you look back on that title and go, okay, it's about a stone. Sure, they're trying to get a stone.
Yeah.
Are they dating the stone? Are they wooing the stone? Are they talking to the stone's father about possibly maybe being betrothed to that stone?
Well, that was wooing the stone.
Wooing the stone, a sequel.
That didn't do as well. Yeah, it's a Jaren title. That's what we know about that for sure.
We love the Jaren
okay,
title.
Okay, so I'd like. Sorry, I've taken a long time to say. Let's talk about the movie The Fall Guy, which is a romantic action comedy. These are rare movies, and that's why it felt like from the very beginning, before I saw one frame of it, I thought, well, this is fun. I'm reminded of the Top Gun reboot that just made a big splash. And it feels throwback, and it feels like the wood chopping Americans out there wearing flannel shirts are very excited. Come on, give me a little of the old stuff. I feel like that's what they tried to do. They tried to take an old property, which, as you say, was a TV show that ran from 1981 to 1985. And they said, let's inject some new life into this thing. Let's give it a modern feel. And I thought they did a really good job trying to do that. Now, the setup of the movie, when you're watching the first 10 minutes, you're like, this is very plug and play. This feels like we're staying well within the bounds of what you would expect. But I have to say, at this point, the cast of this movie was terrific. I thought Ryan Gosling was terrific playing this beat up, down on his luck, frustrated, self-hating stuntman. In the world that they're painting for us, they're doing the thing, Jeff, that we're very sensitive about, which is they're talking about making movies while they're making a movie. Mm-hmm. Now, that either goes one of two ways. It's either we are very precious because ours is the most important art form ever made. And you get that in a lot of Oscar-nominated dramas. And then there's a really fun way of doing this, which is, we have all the equipment. Here's all the stuff. All we have to do is pull back the camera a little bit and you can see how we do everything. I think that kind of thing is very fun. I remember, this is a crazy reference, but I remember getting a little feel of that as a little kid with the Muppet movie. And they show you a little bit of how movies are made and you're like, whoa, this is so cool. It's like being on a backlot tour at Universal Studios or something. So I thought The Fall Guy did a great job of like, here's everybody's trailers that they're in. So they do some action scenes inside the trailers, which is fun. They talk about the catering. Ryan Gosling is arriving to the set of this huge sci-fi movie that they're making, which they've done a really fun job of making.
It's so ridiculous. It's so silly ridiculous.
It's great. And he asked the stunt director, can I get a coffee? How do I get a coffee? And he keeps hitting that, for 5 minutes, which is really fun. Not to mention all of the walkie-talkies, and they're showing you how the stunts are done. And I thought they made that really fun. I don't remember much. I mean, I remember references to that in the TV show, but we're in an age when everything's planned to the microsecond and everything's digital frame. And I thought they did that part really fun. So I'm sorry, I mentioned Ryan Gosling. I'd now like to mention a favorite of yours, Emily Blunt. I'm going to compliment her. What would you say about her performance?
She's always likable. She just seems likable and real. I can't name a movie she's been in where I whoever she played, I thought, I just like her. She just seems so likable. And likable's fine, but she's also got to play somebody. And I think in this, you're like, yeah, I figured that's what that woman would be like. Seemed real.
Yes.
You could tell the director with both of them. The director was able to go, look, nobody else is allowed to do this, but Ryan and Emily, just get in there and just kind of improv some lines and let it breathe. And you can tell the script that you would get from this movie is probably very different than the script they were handed. What we end up with is them ad-libbing stuff about a Taylor Swift song or whatever. And it just, for some people, it feels dorky. Like sometimes when they do that, it feels like, give me a break.
Yes.
This feels like a couple of friends acting in a movie. And I like that.
Yeah, it did feel like that. That they were flirty with each other and kind of picking on each other. And it seemed very personal and authentic, the two of them. I don't remember seeing a lot of Emily Blunt in the past, but she seemed vulnerable in a way like, I'm making this up as I go along. I don't know what to think about this guy, or now I'm putting this in extreme situation. And like, even her having to make decisions as she ends up as a director of a movie at the end, and she's having to make decisions about like, which which battle sword should these aliens be using? And she's like, I guess that one. In those kind of moments, she just seems very authentic, and she was very easy to root for as a counterpart to Ryan Gosling.
This is one of the reasons that I feel like, oh, there's an interesting shift here, is because I think women in movies, recently have been seen as like, well, forever. They're like these damsels in distress. And so what we've had is this long trajectory over the last decade or so of every woman is super strong and super powerful. Well, yes. What we get here is we've like, okay, we've gone through that. Now we can get back to someone who, yeah, she's strong. She's got opinions, but there's vulnerability to her. Like, we've got it to where the guys are constantly vulnerable weaklings.
This, yes.
Such a nice mix of Gosling's like, he's a dude. Like, he's a dude. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about him. And he's also a little bit of a mess, but that makes him fun. She's a woman, a nice, strong woman, but she's got her vulnerabilities and she genuinely likes this guy. And that's not seen as a character flaw. We actually like her for liking
this guy. Yeah, that's true. We're in the category of cinecraft right now, is like the making of this movie, the genre it fit in. I'm just going to do a little subcategory of the cinecraft and just say for me, because I didn't know that you had seen this when I saw this, and I saw it on an airplane, and I double dipped on the next airplane ride. I watched it again.
I love it.
And here's what I observed about myself. My subcategory is Goosebumps. I'd like to talk about Goosebumps.
Go.
Okay. As I said, there was a very typical setup, but during the opening credits, Gosling is doing a voiceover narration. Thunderstruck is playing in the background. And it's one of these movies where they kind of try to squeeze an entire first act before the credits roll.
Yes.
So they're giving us a lot of backstory in the first 10 minutes. Then the electric guitar, ding ling ding 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 ding. He's revving up a car. We're about to have a stunt scene in a sports car, and he makes some definitive statement. That's when I'd had enough. I got goosebumps in the opening sequence. I was like, they're doing this right. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun. I feel great about this. Later on, there's a very long, gratingly long action scene that you mentioned that has to do with a kind of a dump truck setup. Well, they're juxtaposing the action sequence in the back of a dump truck with Emily Blunt at a karaoke bar waiting for him to show up. It's a great setup because in the karaoke bar, the song that somebody is singing is Take a Look at Me Now, Phil Collins.
It's her. She's singing it.
And they put that footage on top of that song. I had goosebumps again. And I was thinking, this is so stupid. I feel so used. I feel so embarrassed right now that they're kind of going, this is the kind of sweet moment while he's having a fist fight for the end of his life to save his life. And I'm going like, this is getting me. She really wants him at that karaoke thing, but he's unable to get there. Anyways, I had a huge smile on my face the entire time of that sequence. Yes, the garbage truck, I was ready. Okay, let's wrap it up. But I liked what they were doing with these two characters. They did another long scene where they're trying to figure out, as you said to me on a phone call or text message, they're trying to make this interesting, a phone call between the two of them. And so they're talking about the script of the movie, and they're talking about the boy and the girl in the movie that they're making together. And they're saying, what do you think about a split screen? And then they show us a split screen, and they're doing some of the moves they're describing about the movie while we're watching the movie of them talking about it. I don't know if that seemed cloying to you. I thought it was creative. They're trying to inject as much life into this thing as possible.
Meta.
I liked all of those kind of touches. What did you
think? Well, so I think what you're saying, it's dawned on me, this sounds so obvious, but it wasn't to me. A few years ago, it dawned on me why I like certain movies and why I don't like other movies. And it all boils down to this. Either a movie makes me feel the way the filmmaker wants me to feel,
right,
or it doesn't. And so when you're talking about the goosebumps thing, and you're talking about, I like the way they did.
I know what they're doing to me, but it's working.
And it worked. And yeah. when you're, we've watched movies where you're going, I know what they want me to feel. I don't.
And I hate feel them that. For even wanting it because it's so badly executed.
Or it's just quite, it's just a little off. There's a lot of times I'll watch a movie and go, I know what you're going for. I admire the try. You're not quite there. It sounds like for you, for this one, for the most part, you went, they tried. I felt it along the way. I think a lot of it also boils down to, so much boils down of any of that to, you either like the main characters or you don't. And if you don't like them, everything they try to do after that will not work.
Fair.
And so, I mean, we can name a dozen movies right off the top of our head that we saw the trailer and went, that looks like it's for me. And you went in and went, uh-oh, don't like those, don't like yes. these characters. And it could be yes. the actor, it could be the writing, it could be how they respond to things.
Yes.
With these two actors and this script, for the most part, I go, they're likable. I'm rooting for them. I want them to be together. Yes. To me, I felt like you kept saying this felt like an old fashioned movie. And that's why I was rubbing my hands together as it started. Cause I thought
that's what I thought when I saw the trailer.
And I think they started that way. To me, it went a little overboard on let's gild the lily. Let's modern this up a little. There are more than a few parts where it becomes hyper realistic in a yes. very stylistic way. Yes. And I was watching, I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I was like, save, those are great ideas. That's actually a clever idea. Save that for a different movie. Just give me a straightforward fight scene that doesn't That's have fair. Like, you know.
That's fair.
And so that to me, some of the movie making innard stuff got a little much. My biggest complaint about this movie, and again, I'm rooting for this movie. Anyone like you who's like, this was a championship movie for me. Like, this is a date night movie for me. Great. My wife and I watched it together. Okay. The thing that I kept getting frustrated with is it stems out of what I liked the most, which was the two of them. The script's biggest problem is that it separates them throughout most of the movie. And so they have these parallel tracks going on. And you could tell the filmmakers are going, we're stuck with this. How do we jazz this up? So they do what you're talking about, where they do these phone calls. There's so many phone calls for a romantic action comedy movie.
Yes.
This movie has so many phone calls, too many phone calls. So they try to do the split screen. They try to do something clever. My thought was, you know, when I went in this movie, I generally knew what it was about. I thought, oh, Emily Blunt's going to go on the adventure with him. She doesn't. She kind of stays doing the movie
She's
thing.
Waiting.
He's doing the stuff and he kind of checks in and then goes back out and checks in and goes back out. It should be, I mean, Romancing the Stone is, it's two people going on an adventure together. That's what right. I wanted. I wanted more right. of that.
Okay. Let's move on to message meter. Let's talk about the messaging in this movie. Sometimes when I'm considering what are the values of a movie, I just ask myself, what does the movie tell me is good? What does the movie tell me is bad?
That's worldview, right?
Right. You kind of go, if you think this is a sin and that this is a virtue, I can triangulate you pretty easily. So as you said, it's worth noting that there's a traditional gender relationship between these two. Even though she's the director of a big movie, she needs him. She's leaning on him. Where are you? Help me figure this out, et cetera. That's a good. You would think this would be unusual. It's not in today's, in this day and age. Drugs and murder are bad. Okay, that's helpful. I know entire TV shows that are built along the premise that murder is not always bad. So that's good. I just thought through things like showing up late for work or making excuses or throwing someone else under the bus are bad.
Isn't that funny? What an unusual thing.
I know. Ghosting people is bad. That was the number one sin that he did against her in this movie, was that he ghosted her.
Wow.
And that's a bad thing. Don't do that.
That's a real driver of this movie is yeah. he was hurt. He didn't, yes. I felt like it was a little weak, but he didn't communicate to her and that drove her crazy.
Yeah.
And it should. We're not looking at her going, that shouldn't have driven you crazy. You should have just moved on. You're like, no, that should have driven you crazy.
Yes. And so owning up to your stuff and telling people about it is kind of an unwritten virtue. This is what we all have to do. So I really like that. You rise to the challenge of the moment. you know, our heroes do not go, oh, this is too much for me, and then look for an escape. They go, we got to figure this out. I like that. So big picture, there's not much of a moral message here. It's a fun action movie. But what there is, I think, is solid. And I don't think Christians would have too much to complain about here. The number one thing I assumed going in is, oh, it's a modern rom-com. It's going to be sexy. There's going to be a lot of sex stuff in here. There was not. I went back, and on my second viewing, if you would expect something to come out in 2024, it's going to be a tentpole romantic movie that's really aimed at date nights. Wow. I got to say, I was pleased. So, which takes me into kind of the family factor.
Real quick, can I just want to double down on something I said earlier, and I want to say it again. I want everybody to keep an eye out for this in modern movies.
Okay.
This movie, there's not an embarrassment around love. I think that's a modern thing, that modern movies are like, that there is this embarrassment that I would need someone or want someone.
Wow.
That's constant. That's why I went into this going, I'm going to like this. I'm going to try to like this as best I can, because it's going to celebrate the fact that these two people really love each other and they don't feel bad about it.
That's
especially
great.
I mean, I think we see a lot of things where the guy is like head over heels for the gal, but the gal's like this is the gal's happy to be in love, and that's a good thing.
Okay, so yeah, before I get into family factor, you didn't like this quite as much as me, but you sound like there's a lot to like. What was your kind of bottom line?
Ever so often, this happens, well, I say ever so often, it's probably pretty often with a movie where the promise of the premise isn't delivered enough for me. And so I'm so in, like, I'm rooting for this movie. And stylistically, it didn't quite work. I felt like the end went on and on. I wanted them to be together more often. It was belaboring. And that's such a common thing. I mean, you can go throughout the history of, I would say, action comedies of the last 20 years, maybe 30 years, their biggest fault is always act three, where they go, okay, hang up the jokes, because what the people really want to see is the action. No. You've got to keep, Ghostbusters is a good example of
art.
Yeah. Well, at least with comedy action, with Ghostbusters, the end of it is, there's some action, but there's still laughs all the way through.
Yeah.
And I think, with this, and it's hard. I guess, I don't want to be all critical. They were trying to hit something very, very difficult,
yes,
which is, can I still feel the romantic factor and even the fun factor and love factor? And yes, we got to have some plot to finish it up. I just felt like, that end didn't work. And by the way, they told us it wasn't going to work. If you remember, there's a moment early in the movie, there's this meta moment where they're talking about what's act three going to be in our inside movie. And as they were doing that, I thought, are they setting us up that they don't really have a good act three? And I'm afraid that's kind of what happened.
And you champion the attempt.
Heck
yes.
Oh, it's a shame to me. This movie didn't do as well as it was predicted to do. They really predicted this movie to do incredibly well, because
the number one reason I was hoping that it did well, kind of like Top Gun, was because if a movie does well, we know there's going to be 20 that come behind it.
So, and I hadn't thought this before, but you're right. This is from the Top Gun Maverick cloth.
Yeah.
And so it was a bummer it didn't do well. It's a little confusing why it didn't. I don't think anybody has a real strong, these are two big actors. Ryan Gosling kind of, he shows up for big movies. Yeah. So it's confusing why it didn't do well. It's disappointing it didn't, because I was really hoping, let's get more of this. I'm going to throw out one last thing. When you watch this movie, watch the opening when he's on set and he's getting ready to do a big stunt and he's there with Emily Blunt. They kind of got a little thing going on. Watch that whole thing. I don't know how long it is. It might be 10 minutes, but it is all, at least seemingly, one take, meaning that the camera doesn't edit. So you're following them all the way until he gets all the way to this very top spot and does this stunt.
Jump,
Which, by the way, we didn't talk about this enough. I watched this movie really kind of amazed, going, I guess dumbly, stupidly, I thought stunt guys were a thing in the past. I thought, now with digital, we don't do this. Well, during the end credits, you know, bless them, they really wanted to celebrate these guys. They're showing the actual stunts that were done for this movie. Which and you realize these guys, they're amazing. Like,
they are amazing.
I wish they didn't have to do this. And there's going to come a point where they won't. But oh my word, are you, what a dude thing. I don't know. It's just such a dude thing.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, this is definitely, definitely good for the bros, good for date night. I was thinking the ideal watcher is a 17, 18 year old boy. Sure. Who's just going, man, this is awesome. Explosions and jumps and fights. Okay, family factor. Look, this is wherein a hunky Ryan Gosling fights and stunt jumps his way into bagging a murderer and drug user while making a giant action movie. Do you think it's for 7 year olds? It is not.
I was going to say yes, but yeah, so I guess you're right.
I would say this is for like 16 year olds on up. There's a little bit of language. Obviously, the themes are quite heavy. You know, there's a scene where Ryan Gosling is doused in gasoline and they're going to light him on fire, and it's threatening.
And it's great the way he gets out of it.
Yeah, it's all fun. And it's a very fun and tame at-home movie night. If you're thinking, well, I'm going to take the wife to dinner, we want to watch something fun, I think this would be great. I enjoyed this very much. We give The Fall Guy 7 flying truck stunt jumps out of 10 and recommend it for teens and the family on up.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.